Hello, and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Today, we're doing a book study on A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, written by Eckhart Tolle. And we hope you have your copy so that you can follow along. Today, we are on Chapter 3, Section 2, The Core of Ego, Complaining and Resentment. My name is Barbara Wainwright, and I'm here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you. Complaining and resentment. Complaining is one of the ego's favorite strategies for strengthening itself. Every complaint is a little story the mind makes up that you completely believe in. Whether you complain aloud or only in thought makes no difference. Some egos that perhaps don't have much else to identify with easily survive on complaining alone. When you are in the grip of such an ego, complaining, especially about other people, is habitual and, of course, unconscious. Which means you don't know what you are doing. Applying negative mental labels to people, either to their face or more commonly, when you speak about them to others, or even just think about them, is often part of this pattern. Name calling is the crudest form of such labeling. And of the ego's need to be right and triumph over others. Jerk, bastard, bitch. All definitive pronouncements that you can't argue with. On the next level down on the scale of unconsciousness, you have shouting and screaming, and not much below that, physical violence.
So what I'm hearing is the higher level of complaining is name calling. And then next we have shouting and screaming. And then after that, we've got physical violence. So that's escalating, I would say, of emotional outbursts, unconscious emotional outbursts that become physical. It's pretty the ego is pretty harsh when it comes to judgment and being judgmental about others. And I really appreciate it if I get caught out being judgmental of someone else, because I think we raise our consciousness when we recognize that that's the ego in control instead of our higher spiritual self. Resentment is the emotion that goes with complaining and the mental labeling of people and adds even more energy to the ego. Resentment means to feel bitter, indignant, aggrieved, or offended. You resent other people's greed, their dishonesty, their lack of integrity, what they are doing. What they did in the past, what they said, what they failed to do, what they should or shouldn't have done. The ego loves it. Instead of overlooking unconsciousness in others, you make it into their identity. Who is doing that? The unconscious in you, the ego. Sometimes the fault that you perceive in another isn't even there. It's a total misinterpretation, a projection by a mind conditioned to see enemies. And to make itself right or superior. At other times, the fault may be there, but by focusing on it, sometimes to the exclusion of everything else, you amplify it. And what you react to in another, you strengthen in yourself. Like to break that one down. What you react to in another, you strengthen in yourself. Can you give an example of that? I don't know that I can, but that's. an interesting statement.
I feel like when you react to somebody, it's usually your ego going.
Mm-hmm.
Once you react, you're strengthening your ego.
Okay, that totally makes sense now.
Non-reaction to the ego and others is one of the most effective ways, not only of going beyond ego in yourself, but also of dissolving the collective human ego. But you can only be in a state of non-reaction if you can recognize someone's behavior as coming from the ego, as being an expression of the collective human dysfunction. When you realize it's not personal, there is no longer a compulsion to react as if it were. By not reacting to the ego, you will often be able to bring out the sanity in others, which is the unconditioned consciousness as opposed to the conditioned. At times, you may have to take practical steps to protect yourself from deeply unconscious people. This you can do without making them into enemies. Your greatest protection, however, is being conscious. Somebody becomes an enemy if you personalize the unconsciousness that is the ego. Non-reaction is not weakness, but strength. Another word for non-reaction is forgiveness. To forgive is to overlook, or rather, to look through. You look through the ego to the sanity that is in every human being as his or her essence.
I think this is an important paragraph because not taking things personally can help you stay sane. If you start taking what other people think, say, or do personally, you get offended, your ego kicks in, and then there's hurt and pain and aggravation, and the next level is shouting and screaming, and then after that, physical violence. So not taking things personally can be your salvation and your path to serenity.
Exactly. And I feel like that's why it's important to understand the ego and like how it works.
Yeah. So you don't get trapped, because the ego is very clever. And if you're not conscious, if you have a slip and you become unconscious and you slip into ego reaction, it can escalate. Or you can catch yourself, take a deep breath, take a walk, step out of the situation, get centered, get balanced, and then address the situation from an impersonal position.
Yeah, because if somebody else's ego is going and then they're causing a reaction out of you and your ego is going, then the collective ego is definitely at play.
He says, you look through the ego to the sanity that is in every human being as his or her essence. The thing is, I don't know about you, but for me, I have met people that sanity is nowhere to be found. And that the person that you're watching the craziness go on inside of is just unreachable. Like the same part of them, his or her essence, not there, not present. So in those cases, I always say, run.
Yes. Yeah, you're not going to get through to them at all.
No, I don't know that you, I mean, He makes it sound like you could look through the ego to get to this, the essence of a person, and find sanity and calmness, consciousness. But there are some people that are so far gone into their ego that your best bet is to walk away as fast as you can.
I was talking to someone earlier about the ego. I've dealt with people who have high egos, very strong, strong egos. And I guess like the only way to interact with them is to forgive them.
Forgive them, but don't subject yourself to any more abuse, because people that are totally wrapped up in their ego, that's what they do.
I wonder if he's saying like by practicing presence, you're able to overlook it because you're protected in a way.
Yeah, but I don't know that you can overlook abusive people. Here's what I do believe. If you stay conscious, you will stop attracting those type of people into your life. You will begin to attract healthy people into your life. So your life will change, but it won't be because you helped somebody who's ego bound to become conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ego loves to complain and feel resentful, not only about other people, but also about situations. What you can do to a person, you can also do to a situation. Make it into an enemy. The implication is always this. This should not be happening. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. I'm being treated unfairly. And the ego's greatest enemy of all is, of course, the present moment, which is to say, life itself.
Complaining is not to be confused with informing someone of a mistake or deficiency so that it can be put right. And to refrain from complaining doesn't necessarily mean putting up with bad quality or behavior. There is no ego in telling the waiter that your soup is cold and needs to be heated up, if you stick to the facts, which are always neutral. How dare you serve me cold soup? That's complaining. There is a me here that loves to feel personally offended by the cold soup and is going to make the most out of it. A me that enjoys making someone wrong. The complaining we are talking about is in the service of the ego, not of change. Sometimes it becomes oblivious that the ego doesn't really want to change so that it can go on complaining.
See if you can catch, that is to say, notice, the voice in the head. Perhaps in the very moment it complains about something, and recognize it for what it is, the voice of the ego. No more than a conditioned mind pattern, a thought. Whenever you notice that voice, you will also realize that you are not the voice, but the one who is aware of it. In fact, you are the awareness that is aware of the voice. In the background, there is the awareness. In the foreground, there is the voice, the thinker. In this way, you are becoming free of the ego, free of the unobserved mind. The moment you become aware of the ego in you, it is, strictly speaking, no longer the ego, but just an old, conditioned mind pattern. Ego implies unawareness. Awareness and ego cannot coexist. The old mind pattern, or mental habit, may still survive and reoccur for a while, because it has the momentum of thousands of years of collective human unconsciousness behind it. But every time it is recognized, it is weakened. This last paragraph is so important because he's pointing out the fact that We have thousands of years of conditioning to be in our egoic mind. Maybe it is what helped humans survive back in the day, when we were hunting for food and that type of thing. However, today, in a civilized country, which I believe, at least in the United States, we've evolved socially quite substantially, and there are an increasing number of people who have also become aware of the ego and how it can keep us from being present in the moment. The more of us that awaken, the more of a ripple effect it will have on humanity. So it's up to us, it's up to all of you listening to become aware of the egoic mind and how it causes separation. And as we become aware of those egoic thoughts, we can become more and more conditioned to awaken to them and to reprogram ourselves to think positively and stay present in the moment.
And just try to stay aware of like everything.
Yeah. Well, it all begins with our thoughts, I believe. And our thoughts are very powerful, whether we choose to acknowledge that or not. It's true. So if you can become aware of thoughts that are harmful, and whether it be harmful to you or harmful to someone else, it doesn't matter. It's still harmful. That's an egoic thought. If you can become aware of all your egoic thoughts and cancel them, and then rewrite them, and maybe even say them out loud at that point, you will be on the right path towards reprogramming your mind and becoming more aware in the process.
Yeah, it just takes a little discipline.
It takes a lot of discipline.
Yes, it takes a lot of discipline. And you have to be willing.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's a challenge for sure. And if you are willing, you will be successful. Being willing, I believe, is the first step. Being willing and acknowledging that you have an egoic mind. We all do. We're all born with it. And like he says, we've been conditioned for thousands of years of collective human unconsciousness. So if we can be willing to take the steps to become conscious, we can do it for sure. It's just a matter of that exactly, being willing and practicing and becoming conscious and being aware and checking every thought. And even if you catch yourself after you've had an egoic thought, you can still cancel it and rewrite it into a positive thought. And I love what you do, Gilda, when you say everything's always working out in my favor, because that is right there. Most likely something that preceded that was a thought that the ego had, like, oh, this isn't going to work out, or this isn't going to be good, or this is not bad. No, everything is always working out in my favor. So it's a way to counterbalance, if you will, the ego, the thought, the comment, whatever was thought or said, and counter it with the positive thought. Hey, everything's always working out in my favor.
It's so true. Or sometimes instead of being like, oh, like things always happen to me, I'm just like, man, like what's the best that can happen right now? And it's really helpful in those situations because you have a lot of like emotion in it. And then for some reason you end up seeing like all the best things that could have happened. And you know what I mean? Like, because you're inviting that. as opposed to maybe saying, oh, like, what's the worst that can happen? You know,
Oh,
like,
you
I
die.
feel
You
so
what?
bad. Like, instead, you're just like, man, everything's so great. Like,
Yes.
everything's flowing. Everything's working out in my favor.
Yes. That's an egoic question. What's the worst thing that could happen? That's an ego.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I flip it. I always try to flip. It's like, oh man, what's the best that can happen right now? Let me
Right?
flip this.
And that's the question that I ask, only I ask it this way. What's my next best step?
Yeah, I love that.
So that's the end of this section. I think it's a really important one, talking about complaining and resentment. Those two things are all about ego. They don't serve us. They are not there for our highest good, certainly. And my wish, my dream would be if we would all become conscious and present in the moment and recognize when those egoic thoughts present themselves and quickly become aware, cancel, and rewrite into positive, loving, compassionate, kind, uplifting statements.
Love that.
Well, I hope you all have a great week. We'll see you next week. And until then, keep your thoughts on high. Bye for now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to wainwrightglobal.com/go/support.